I've come with a simple message out of 1 Kings chapter 17. I told Candy I had wrestled and wrestled with what to preach, and I had so many sermons whirling through my mind, but just none of them felt right. But then early today, I told her, God's give me the one for tonight. And my message is simple. Two words. It's over. It's over. That's a blessing to know. We learn a great lesson. You know 1 Kings 17 well. We'll read some verses here in one moment. It starts off by telling us about a prophet, but it doesn't say that he's a prophet when he starts. He's just named. He's a Tishbite. His name is Elijah. He's from the area of Gilead. God raises him up, gives him a strange message, and he goes in and prophesies that message. And he said, there's famine coming. There's not going to be any dew in the land. There's not going to be any rain that will fall. He said it's going to be a time of difficulty, of problems, of troubles and trials. And God said after he preached his message and prophesied to people of importance and the king, he said, now you go down by the brook of Cherith, or Kirith if you will, and you stay there. God commanded the ravens to feed him every day. God took care of him. But then after a while, God said, now I want you to leave this place and I want you to go to a certain place. Let's look, if you will, 1 Kings 17, beginning with verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me. Now listen to what he says. This is a time of famine. It's a time of no rain. It's a time of no dew. Water is running out. And he said, I pray thee, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Now you know this account well in the word of God. I've preached on it. Brian's preached on it. Many preachers we've had in this pulpit have preached on it. But I want to just point out some things that God spoke to me about in light of where that we're at. See, they were in a difficult time. It was a time where that judgment was coming because God was saying, don't you ever feel like you're in control. I'm in control. And God has now taken his prophet, hid him away, and finally says, I want you to go. Sometimes I think that we focus on Elijah at this point. When he said, I want you to go, told him the town to go to, he said, and I've commanded a widow to sustain thee there. That means God had already spoke to her before Elijah ever got there. He goes to the gate of the city, and there he finds her. That amazes me. How did he know it was her? I'm sure there was more than one widow in that town. It had to be by revelation of God that she was the one. But when he looked at her, can you imagine the thoughts that ran through his mind? God, I was by a brook and I had water every day. I was there and you were feeding me every day. And this is the way you're going to take care of me? Why, look at her, Lord. She's frail. She doesn't have anything herself. Is this my answer to prayer? And that's my first point. Answers to prayer don't always look like what we think they ought to look like, but it's still an answer to prayer. God can say, I can take individuals that they may be the least likely of all, and those will be the ones that I'll use and raise up to help you. Not only that, but this isn't about Elijah. This is about the widow. He said, Elijah, I could have fed you there the whole time that this drought was on. I could have fed you until the rain come again right where you were at. But I want this widow to see the hand of God and let her know that I'm going to take care of her. See, it's not enough for me to know that God is taking care of me. I've come with good news for you tonight. God will take care of you too. God sees what you're going through, and the Lord will take care of it. Miracles are always born out of a time of need. If it was a need that she could have met by herself, then she would not have needed a miracle. If you could save yourself, you wouldn't need a miracle. If a doctor could fix this thing we're in right now, we wouldn't need a miracle. But folks, I'm here to tell you, we need a miracle. But I know the miracle worker. I know the one that makes all the difference. And sometimes to see our faith increased, God will stir the needs. And the greater the need for miracles, and the greater the faith is exemplified. Now listen to what I'm telling you. We are at a point right now where it's going to separate those that have faith in God and those that don't. I'm glad that I know, regardless of everything else that's happening, God is still in control. And God will take care of all things. He'll take care of you tonight. If you call on his name, he's right there for you, and he'll help you. The challenge comes when you're facing things that you cannot see and go to areas that you cannot go. And Elijah challenges her very limitations that she has. She is at the bottom. And God says, challenge her to do more. Let's see how much she's willing to surrender to me. God says, stretch her beyond her limits. Let her see that she can do things that she didn't know that she could do, and that I'll do things through her that she didn't dream could happen. So what he does is he challenges her limitations by first saying, give me a drink of water. To give a drink when there's no water, it's one thing, you know, when you have plenty. But it's another thing when you don't have enough for you already, and you're going to take what you have and give it to somebody else. And then if that's not enough, while she goes to get the water, he said, by the way, bake me a little cake too. Just bake a little cake while you're at it if you don't care. Said, you feed me and take care of me. And she said, I have not a cake. She said, all that I have is just a little meal, just a little oil. And gathering, boy, I tell you, it's tough times when you're counting sticks. She's down to where she said, I've just got two sticks. That means I've just got a little food and a little fuel. She might have had two sticks, but I want to tell you, you may feel like all I've got left is two sticks, but I'd rather have a little fire as no fire at all. I may not have more than what I need, but I have everything that I need. And if you've got a little faith and you've got a little fire left in your soul, that's what God will begin to fan the flames of and cause it to burn brighter and to do the impossible. She said, rightfully so, in verse 12, I have not a cake. She said, I'm going to take what I've got here and I'm going to eat it, and my son's going to eat it, and we're going to die. She thought it was her last meal. She thought, this is it. Do you know, it not only impacted her, please hear what I'm saying. Faith is generational. She was going to feed her son what she was going to eat. She was feeding her son the same thing that she was eating. Maybe you didn't get that yet. If you're living in your home, wringing your hands right now, fearful about everything, your children see that. And then when they face harder times than this, they're going to walk around in fear. I'm not talking about ignorance, and I'm not talking about not using precautions. You ought to use every precaution you can, but it ought to start with God. You ought to bring your children together in your home and say, listen, God's still on the throne. We don't have to worry about this. Let's focus on our faith in God. I encouraged our people here in the church on Sunday morning, and I'll encourage you again tonight. You ought to read Psalm 91 every day of your life. You ought to let your children hear you read Psalm 91. Time you get out of this thing, you'll have it memorized. But it's the promise of the Word of God. We can say in the eye of all of this, God has not forsaken us. And I know that what I'm doing right now, it will impact our children. See, we could have just easily said, let's not preach tonight. Let's just go home. But I tell you, I know the situation they're in, but I also know I've never felt the power of God any greater in all of my life. I've never doubted that God's on the throne through all of it. I know that God is with us every step of the way. The prophet said, bake me the cake first. He said, if you do, the barrel will waste not, and the oil, it'll never fail. Hear what I'm telling you. This is not about prophecy. It's about priorities. He wasn't saying that as a prophet. He's telling her, in the time of need of a miracle, you better make sure your priorities are right. And I want to tell you, as a church across this country, we got our priorities turned around. How's sports working out for you now? All those services that you missed because sports was more important. Boy, I'd say right now there's not many of these coming up. How's that working out for you? How about all the time you could come to church and you didn't have to worry about anything, but you said, you know what? I'm a little tired right now. I think I'll stay. How's that working for you now? Now that you want to come and you can't come. How's that feeling to you now? Let me tell you what this is all about. I'm hearing every day from dozens and dozens and dozens, sometimes 100 a day. Preacher, where does all this fit into prophecy? It doesn't. Sorry. Just went quiet. It doesn't. It's God's warning shot to say, prophecy's yet to be fulfilled. This is about us getting our priorities right with God. It's a time in a nation that we need to repent before God as a nation and say, Lord, we have trampled your word underfoot. We have put you last in everything. Worship is the farthest thing from our mind. Lord, if we have anything left, we give it to you. God said, no, you won't. You'll make me first if you want your miracle and you want to get out of this. God says, it's time for you to put me first in all things. It's time that we say, I'm not going to look to God at midnight. I'm going to look to him first thing in the morning. I'm going to start my day with the Lord, because if I start my day with the Lord right, it'll always end right. Putting him first. He's first in everything. God said, you're not really giving it to the prophet. You're giving it to me. Do you feed what's feeding you? What do you mean by that? God said, widow, ma'am, you got to remember, you wouldn't even have two sticks and a morsel of bread. You wouldn't even have enough to make a little bit to eat. You'd have no oil and no fire if it wasn't for me. So since I gave you the little bit that you have, Will you put me first in all of this? Let me ask you something. Are you going to put God first in all of this? Where's God going to fall into your life? It's time that we get our priorities turned around and say, God, I'm not going to keep you last in my life. I'm going to keep you first. And if we put God first, I make you a promise. If we repent before God as a church, as a nation, we get God back on the throne. We get God back in our state houses and in our capital. And once again, guiding this land. You hear me? I promise you, the barrel will never run empty and the cruise will never fail. The oil will never stop. I'm telling you, God will pour it out on you. And then this always catches my attention. He said, it won't run over, but it'll never run out. It won't run over. It'll never run out. What do you mean? He designed this miracle that every day she had to reach into the barrel to get what she needed. Doesn't say there was more than enough. It says there was enough every day until the famine ended. God will give you just exactly what you need every day. Sometimes God has decided the best thing I can do to get us back on track as a church is to give you the allowance to go to a place where to get out of it, you're going to have to reach for me. Right now, we're going to have to reach for the Lord. If we want to see God stop this thing, see this thing turned around and find the victory that she found, we're going to have to reach. What do you mean reach? I'm saying reach right now. Reach, reach into the heavens and say, it's coming, Lord, but you are God. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the one that provides for us and cares for us. You are the one that will never fail us, never leave us, never forsake us. Every day, start your day by reaching right now all around the world. Get your hands up, lift holy hands unto the Lord and praise God that we have the Lord in a time like this. You gotta reach. I got a note right here. I think I'll just give you 30 seconds to shout right now. Oh, anybody can shout when there's a crowd and it spills over on them. But I'm glad when you get all alone and nobody else is around, he's still God and he still loves you. And right where you are, even now, you can lift holy hands to the Lord. We're reaching, reaching for you, Lord. We have nowhere else to turn. Nobody else has the answer, but we're reaching to you, Lord. Oh boy, I feel God tonight. You've got to learn the power of using what you have left. She took what she had left and gave it to the Lord. You know, God never performs great miracles out of plenty. Right now, it's gone. Your 401k's shrunk. Your money's losing value every day. Your job is gone. Oh my. Right now, there's people, their health is gone. Right now, they feel like all security for the future is gone. You hear me in what I'm saying. God says you still got something in your hand. And that little bit in your hand is all that I need. Just a few little fishes and a few little barley loaves will feed 5,000. Just a little seed, the size of mustard seed called faith. That's all that God needs. Just a little rag and a rock in the hands of God's shepherd boy. That's all that God needs. It may seem like so little, and Lord, we've gone the wrong way, but what we have, we give it to you and ask your blessings, Lord. That's all that he needs, a little faith. And when she heard it, she probably thought, as crazy as this may seem to everybody else, I got to do it. Because I heard from God before the prophet ever got here. I'm supposed to sustain this man. God said it in his word. Elijah, I've commanded her before you ever get there. You go, it'll be okay. And can you imagine as she's taking that little bit, a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal, and she's making what she can for the prophet, because she's not making it for the prophet, she's making it for God. And as she takes that little bit and begins to make it, I can almost see her little son beside of her. Mama, what are you doing? I'm making God a cake. I'm baking a cake for God. But mama, what are we going to eat? Honey, we're going to eat what's left. But mama, what are we going to do if we eat what's left? Honey, mama was wrong. I told you we're going to eat and die. You forgive me. We're going to eat and live. Instead of eating and dying, we're going to choose to live. It makes no sense, honey. But here in our house, effective right now, sweetheart, the famine is over. It's over. The rest of the world, it may still be there. But in my house, it ends right here, right now. Because I'm taking the word of God and I'm mixing the oil of the Holy Ghost with it, and I'm applying it to my heart, and I'm feeding my soul, and I'm putting notice on the devil. Everybody around me may still be in a drought. Everybody around me may still be afraid, but I've got news for them. My house, it's over. It's over. It's over. God's already taken care of it. You can't go wrong with this thing. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you face. You're saying, well, I face death with this preacher. We face death every minute of our life. We don't know when God's going to call. All I can tell you is I've already settled it in my heart that it's over. And who knows, this could be the very moment that Jesus comes for his church. That's what we're looking for. It's over. It's over. Even though the famine was still all around her, it wasn't in her. She settled it. She settled it. You know, maybe some of the fears that you're facing is because you haven't settled it. What I'm saying right now to some of you, you're saying, oh, our poor pastor, he's lost his mind. He's crazy. He's speaking healing and forgiveness and deliverance at a time when the news 24/7 is telling us death and sickness and sorrow. And we've got a crazy preacher in the pulpit down there telling us it's over. Didn't he see the stats today? Didn't he see? Oh, some of us look beyond what the stats are. We're realistic. We know what's around us, but our eyes is on the other side. And we know that heaven's not disturbed by this. There's not an angel that has ruffled his wings. There's not an angel that stayed awake all day long wringing his hands or her hands, waiting on God to do something, because he's God and they know he makes no mistakes and he's right in everything that he does. I'm telling you, you've got to settle it in your heart. It's over. Now, if I was lost, and I'll just be honest with you, Jesus gave a parable of the wheat and tares, and he said the separation belongs to him. I know that there's people that have issues in their mind dealing with things like this. But I also know it's a separation of time where a lot of people are coming to the cruel reality. They're just plain and simple. They're not right with God. They're not right with God. See, if you're right with God, go ahead and take your precautions. I do. Go ahead and be safe. I do. But I want to tell the devil, don't you threaten me with heaven. You have no say in that. I'm not going anywhere till God calls me. It is called the word of faith. Now, we have talked about it, but we really don't know a lot about it. Because when we get in times like this, what is in us when pressure comes on is what will come out of us. I was blessed so much. I have a good friend, Brian and I. His name is Brother Kim Murray. Kim lives in the state of California. He's with Vision Media, and Vision Media has been a blessing to evangelistic outreach. Brother Kim has, I never hear anything negative from Brother Kim. A lot of Sundays when I'm getting ready to go in the pulpit, when I'm studying early morning, and his time is way behind our time. Early morning, 6-7 o'clock our time, I'll get a text. Pastor, I'm praying for God to use you today as a vessel of honor for his glory. I'm believing God that you'll see souls saved and people will be touched by your message, and that your message will not only go out to your church, but it'll go out to the world to see people come to Christ. All of this started, and I need not tell you, California is one of those states that's been hit the hardest. California, Washington, New York, we've all been hit, but nobody's been hit as hard as what those states have been right now. I got a text from Kim this week, and if you don't mind, let me share it with you. The first line was this: I was recently diagnosed. Space. It came back positive. Space. That I have faith. It was found all over my body, especially in my mouth. Warning, preacher, it's very contagious. Everywhere I go, people are catching it. It just can't seem to stop spreading. It is spread by speaking the word. Words contain powerful transmissions of inoculation. The side effects are this: salvation, safety, preservation, healing, and wholeness over any virus or any other work of the devil. The infectious word of God in our hearts and mouth is more powerful than any virus. Join me in getting contaminated with the word of God, then spread it to everyone, preacher. Hallelujah! That's what we're doing. We're telling you, faith overcomes the world. Faith. Do you know why that you're not saved? Do you know why? Do you know why? You haven't put your faith in Christ. Do you know why you have an excuse why you're not saved? You don't have your faith in Christ. You say, you don't know what I've done, preacher. You're right. I don't know. But I know the one that knew what you have done. And every wrong you committed and every wrong I committed. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, glory to God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith in the word of God. See, with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How's that confession made? By faith in the living God. Faith that Jesus died. Faith that Jesus rose from the grave. Faith that the power of the blood of Jesus is greater than the virus of sin that seeks to destroy us and cast us into hell for all eternity. Faith is what saves us. Faith. Faith. Faith.